It's good to see you all. Now, some of you have not had the privilege of coming to Inner Link, have you? But some of us have. Who comes along to Inner Link? Let's have a see who we hear. Yes? Now, Inner Link is a group that meets fortnightly here in the chapel on a Tuesday. Oh, right, that's the first slideshow. Now, she's not Inner Link, but we'll come there in a moment. We meet on a Tuesday every other week for a lovely lunch and time together to enjoy each other's company. We spend a bit of time reading part of the Bible and thinking about what it means for us. And we find out what's going on in each other's lives and pray for each other and encourage each other. And we thought that we would have, because Angie's a member of the Inner Link group, she's been there for about a year, we thought that we would do the sermon part of the service in the Inner Link style tonight. So that's why we're seated as we are. Now, Inner Link requires a number of things. First of all, it requires nice bright pictures. So I've got some nice bright pictures for you. And if you come from Inner Link, then you've got an advantage over the others because you've seen these pictures before. All right? So you should have no excuse for not knowing the answers. But as well as the pictures that help, we also have conversations with each other. We all are helped by each other's ideas and thoughts. So if you feel comfortable doing that, then you can do that in your groups. So if you can just hide this photograph, this picture of this young lady here for the moment. Okay, I have a question for you to ponder upon. The question is this: think of a really important time when you said yes. When you said yes to someone, right? Think of a really important time when you said yes to someone, all right? That's your task over the next 3 or 4 minutes. So you can discuss that in your groups, and we'll see what comes up. I think some of them are going to be a bit obvious, but maybe there's some surprises as well. Okay, over to you. Think about that if you feel comfortable discussing that with your neighbour. Okay, well, you've had your first chance to chat. So let's see what your answers are. I think some of these answers are going to be pretty obvious. And maybe you've got some surprises on the way. So what is the really obvious occasion where you say yes and it really makes a huge difference to your life? What's the really obvious one? It's what? Oh, wait, can you trust you to jump the gun? Couldn't you tell that that's something that we're waiting for? Oh, I don't know. We have to cope with him every other week. Oh. We love you, though, Dennis. No, okay, we'll come to that in a moment. All right. What else? What's the most obvious one? Married is when you get married, yeah? You say yes, or maybe no, in which case it's not when you get married. But if you say yes, probably the most, or one of the most important. You said yes to Ernie, didn't you? Ernie this year, isn't that fantastic? Yeah? Your whole life changes when you say yes. What other? Any other examples, though? Any other ones that we can have? Oh, yes, you said yes to a situation where you got an award, didn't you, for your sports award? Yeah? Oh, yeah. Champion of active travel. Dave! Yes to a job, that can be a really big, significant thing. If you're offered a job, you have to decide yes or no. Many of us have been in that situation. I had to say yes or no about whether I came to Surrey Chapel. Changed my life forever. I won't make any comments on that. Very, very good. Yeah. Naomi. If you could what? Whether you could get guinea pigs. That's made a big difference to their lives, certainly. No, it made a difference to the guinea pigs' lives that Naomi, that Andrew, that said yes. Yeah? Oh, okay, you said yes to the B&Q vouchers. Fair enough. Made a difference to your budget, didn't it? Any other example? Anyone else who said yes and it made a difference? Yes? Yes! To be fair, although that is a different kind of yes, perhaps. A different kind of yes. Okay, well, we're going to begin our thinking this evening with someone who said yes. Someone from the Christmas story. There she is, okay? You know who this is, don't you? Who's this? Who said yes in the Christmas story, yeah? It's Mary, isn't it? Mary was the mother of of Jesus. Now, well, she didn't quite say yes. This is exactly what she said. After an angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to have this special child, a child that had come from the Holy Spirit into her body, what did she say? She said, "I serve the Lord," Mary answered. "May it happen to me just as you said it would." Then the angel left her. Or in other words, she said yes, didn't she? She said, what would be the result if she had said no? What would have happened if she'd said, that's a good offer, be the mother of the Son of God, but no, not for me, thank you. Well, I suppose the angel would have found someone else. But she said yes. And because she said yes, God's Son could come into the world and we could be saved as a result. Now, this evening we are here because another lady has also said yes. That lady is Angie. And being baptized is a way of saying yes to God. It's a way of, once you've heard what God is offering, what Jesus has done for us, we're going to say, this is how we say yes to that wonderful offer of his love and his forgiveness. So I've got some pictures here that we've used in the link to help us understand what being baptized means and how we say yes to God. So here's the first picture, and if you want any clues, you can turn up that Bible verse, although it will appear in a moment. So what kind of sign is this? Nice and loud so we can hear. It's a U-turn, isn't it? Yeah? It's a U-turn. This is the first thing that Angie is showing by being baptized. When we become Christians, when we follow Jesus, it is like making a U-turn in our lives. We're heading in one direction and we turn around and head in another direction. Now, of course, heading in this direction does not mean we're doing all the terrible, worst things we possibly could be doing in the whole world all at once. Of course not. And heading in this direction does not mean I am now living a perfect life and everybody can look at me as the sun shines from me into the world, making it a better place. No, that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is, I was heading in the wrong direction. I was heading away from God. I was doing my own thing and living my own way, whatever that might have been, good or bad. And I've changed direction. I'm sorry that I went that way. And now I'm going this way. I am heading towards God. I am starting a new way of living. The Bible calls that repenting. So this is what was said in the first sermon about repenting. When people had heard about how Jesus had died, what shall we do, they said. And Jesus replied, all of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then your sins will be forgiven. So we're heading this direction. Turn away. Head in that new direction, the direction not away from God, but towards him. So that's the first thing that being baptized stands for this evening. Yeah? You okay so far?
Yeah.
If you change your mind, no. You've still got time. But once you're in there, you don't, because we've got you then. Okay. Okay, here comes another picture then. Oh. Who is this a picture of? It's a picture of you in a few minutes' time. This is what you'll look like. Well, this is what we'll look like to God after we're baptized. Okay, we don't actually lose all our hair. But this is the truth of what goes on inside that baptism is talking about. So what's just happened to this baby? They've just been born, yeah, perhaps. And what else has happened? She's been, well, not baptized in this case. What's she just had? Bath, doesn't she? Yeah, she has a bath. She's been washed clean. So she's a young baby. She's just been born and she's been washed clean. And there's a second thing which which baptism points towards. Later on, I haven't put the text on there. Oh, yes, Acts 22. This is how Paul describes what was said to him when he was baptized. So what are you waiting for? Get up and call on his name, Jesus' name. Be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Washed away. So all the things we did wrong when we were heading in this direction, all those footprints that we'd left in the sand, are washed away by the tide of his love. And instead we now live in this direction. And there's no remembering, there's no record at all of what went before. It's all washed away, washed clean. And that's a picture of what happens as Angie's heart and anyone's heart when we're baptized. An old past washed away and a new life has come into being. Okay, now here's another picture. Perhaps a little bit more gloomy. Well, it's not gloomy, is it? What's this picture? We've used this quite a lot in Innerlink. Maybe some of the rest of you have seen it. What event is this recording? Yes, come on then. Get it right this time. That's right. Yep, this is a picture of what it might have been like. That's what tombs were like in those days. That were like caves in the ground. Now, you may well know the story of Jesus. The story, the account of his life, how he lived. He was born at Christmas time. How he lived, how he died on the cross for us, and then how he rose again. That's the basic story of what he did to change everything for us. We are people who naturally are going to die because we're cut off from God. But if we are reunited with God, we can live again. So this picture here is intended to remind us of that truth, and being baptized points us to that truth, that spiritually we die with Jesus, but because we're connected with him now, we also live with Jesus. But this is how it's put in that passage from Romans. By being baptized, we were buried with Christ into his death. Christ has been raised from the dead by the Father's glory, and like Christ, we also can live a new life. A new life. And that's a promise not just for the life that we live on earth, but also a promise for the life that we can live forever. We can live forever with Jesus. So, Angie, you being baptized, not just a picture of you saying yes to God, not just a picture of you changing direction, not just a picture of you being washed clean. It's also a picture of you having a new life that will last forever. We will all die physically one day, but the promise is that if we belong to Jesus, we will live again. And we believe that because it really happened for him. Not just a nice made-up story. There's real proof and real evidence. Okay. All right with me so far? Any questions so far? No? Okay. Now here's another picture we've used quite a lot. What is going on here? What does a dove stand for in the Bible? Let's see, folks who are at Innerlink, whether any of these folks here know the answer before we enlighten them. Does anybody know what the dove stands for in the Bible? Pardon? Yes, the dove of peace. It can be used from the story of Noah, but that's not what we're using it here for. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's right. Now, that's there from the passage in Luke, so I haven't put these on the screen. Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus did it not because he had sins to be forgiven, but to show that he was one with us. He was on our side. He was with us. And he was living for us and became like us. So he was baptized to show his identification with us. And after he came out of the water, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him. It looked rather like a dove coming down from heaven. That was the way in which this coming of the Spirit was made visible to John the Baptist, who baptized him. And so the Holy Spirit has been used as a symbol or a sign for the dove has been used as a symbol or sign for the Holy Spirit ever since. And then the passage we read earlier from Acts chapter 38, there Peter says, repent and be baptized every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same thing will happen for you as happened for Jesus all those years ago. Wow. You're following in his footsteps. Now, don't actually waste time looking up there to see if anything flies down from the sky. It doesn't happen for most people in a visible way. They were special in Jesus' case. But fundamentally, it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit of God, God himself, comes and lives in our hearts. Now, that begins as soon as we start to believe at all. But it becomes something much more real, much more powerful and more effective, the more obedient we are to Jesus. And so if he says to us, be baptized, we can expect the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and our lives and make even more difference to us. Has anybody got any idea as to what kind of difference it might make if the Holy Spirit was living in us? Any ideas? Yes, Dennis. Boldness, that's right. So we might be shy, nervous people who suddenly find that we can actually talk about meaningful things with other people. I know people who are very, very shy and nervous and yet are able to come up to the front and give talks like this. But I wasn't one of them. I think the Holy Spirit enables people to listen to me rather than that makes more of a difference in this case. Anything else that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives might make? Whatever difference. Yes, Simon. That's right. Guides and helps us and teaches us and helps us to make the right decisions, speaks into our hearts and our minds in all kinds of ways. Yeah. Yeah. Encourages us. Yes, exactly. Yes. Helen. Joy. That's right. He brings joy to our heart because we know that God loves us. And whatever else has happened in our lives, we can have joy. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings us God's joy. Yeah? What else? Times of trouble, he supports us and encourages us. Yeah? And he changes us. That's right. Have you noticed if you live with someone or you spend lots of time with someone who has a very powerful personality, who lives in a certain kind of way and speaks in a certain kind of way, a positive influence, well, it could be a negative as well. But if you spend a lot of time with somebody like that, then their powerful personality changes you. You start to unconsciously adopt their style, their words, their actions, the way they live. You become a bit more like them, don't you? And the Holy Spirit brings about that kind of change in us. So that we just don't want things that aren't right, and we start to want things which are right. So the promise of the Holy Spirit is also part of being baptized. Okay, moving on. Here's another picture we use. Now, to be honest, it doesn't take a lot of intellect to work out what this is about. Welcome to the church. Welcome to the church. By being baptized, Angie is showing that in addition to her own lovely family who love her and support her, she's also having a new family added alongside as well as her existing family. Because that's what church is. Church is a community. Church is a family. And what unites us, what bonds us together, first and foremost, it's Jesus, our love for him. And baptism is our way of showing that we love him, that we belong to him. He, if you like, is the big brother that we all need as the children in the family of God. So if we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, we would read that there is one Lord, one Father, there is one church, and there's one baptism that shows it. Now, when we're baptized, we're actually doing the thing which Christians have done all through the centuries, right back to the very first day of the church. It links us with every single Christian who has ever lived. And it also links us with all the world as well. Because you could go to churches all around the world and they would look different. Some would be in great cathedrals with towers, etc. Some would be vast football stadia. Some would be huddled away in somebody's kitchen for fear of the persecution by the authorities. Some might be under a tree in Africa. They would all look so, so different. But every single one will have been baptized or thought to have been baptized to show that they belong to this one great family. So that's the next thing you're showing here, Angie, is your new spiritual family, which doesn't replace but adds to the lovely family that you already have. Okay, one more picture to show you. Whatever is going on here, what is it about these, the young people, that you notice? Is it that they're all so beautiful, good-looking? No. Although we are to God. What's the key thing, the point why I've picked this picture? Uniform, that's right. They're all dressed in the same way, deliberately, to show what? What does it show? They're all from the same place. They're all from the same school. Now, you could all belong to the same school but have your own clothes. Some schools don't have. But this school has a uniform so that everyone can see that you belong. It makes it public, doesn't it? And Galatians chapter 3 says that everyone who's been baptized has clothed themselves in Jesus. Yeah? So we can imagine we're wearing a uniform that has, you know, Jesus on it in some way or other. Everyone knows you belong now. Putting on the uniform says, I belong to him. That means that people can look at what we say, what we do, and how we live our lives. It means that we need to look like Jesus now if we're being baptized. Not perfect. Remember I said we can't be perfect. But we need to be the sort of people who are heading in the right direction. We publicly belong to him because we have put on his uniform. We need to bring credit to Jesus if we have been baptized. So that's the sixth and final thing. I could say lots of more. But that's the sixth and final thing. Let me remind you of what we've said. Here they all are. So by being baptized, change of direction. I wonder, do you need a change of direction in your life? I'm not asking you whether you're a bad person or a good person. I'm asking you whether you're heading in the right direction or the wrong direction. By being baptized, you change your direction. Do you need a fresh start? By being baptized, you're showing that you've been cleaned from the inside out and you have a fresh start in life. Again, do you need that? Do you need a new beginning in life? Things have gone wrong and you need that washed away. Those footprints in the sand going in the wrong direction, swept away. What was next? This, wasn't it? Do you recognize the need that you to leave behind an old life? Let it die with Jesus. So that you can rise again in a new life with him. How about the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that without help, you're never going to be a good person? You're never going to change. You're never going to be able to please God. But with the power of him within you, you can. How about this? This one. Do you belong to the right family? Of course, our human families are lovely and we need them. But do we have that spiritual family? Family that stretches all around the world. Okay, next, I can't remember. Finally, are you wearing the uniform? If all these other things are true, have you done what it takes to say and show, I belong to Jesus and I and following him? All these things and more captured by the act of baptism. And I want to challenge you and encourage you that if you've not been baptized, if you're not confident that you've made that decision in whatever form, that you've said yes to God in his way, then speak to one of us afterwards. We would love to talk through how you could be baptized. We have opportunities next month already lined up. And if you have already been baptized, great, that's fantastic. Let me encourage you to remember what these things stand for and to live your life according to the promises you have made ever since you said yes to God. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for baptism. We thank you that this symbol, sign can reflect so much, show so much of what it means to follow you and follow Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would encourage us and speak to us, if we've not been baptized yet, to want to do this for ourselves. And for those of us who have been baptized, to remember what it means to be refreshed again in following him. Amen.